The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Time now for Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine, bringing you the latest information on medicine, nutrition, fitness, and wellness, now in its 27th year. Your host of Dr. Health Radio is health expert David Snow, who is not a doctor, and while most of David's guests are doctors or authorities in their areas of expertise, they do not diagnose or prescribe on the air. If you have a condition or illness that requires medical attention, see a health professional. The information contained in this program is for educational and entertainment purposes only. And now, your host of Dr. Health Radio, the Snowman himself, David Snow.
Good morning. Not David Snow, Dr. Kevin Gibson filling in. David went to a integrative medicine conference with some really good speakers in Colorado. I think he's going to be presenting that information next week or two, and I'm sure that'll be a good update on what's going on in integrated medicine and research and such. So for those of you who do not know me, my name is Dr. Kevin Gibson. I am a naturopathic physician licensed here in the state of Hawaii for some time. We've had licensing laws since 1925 for naturopathic physicians, though many people still don't know about us as primary care providers. We are trained similarly to conventional medicine in terms of the sciences and diagnostic techniques, but our therapeutic approach differs in that our main objective is to identify underlying cause of imbalances or dis-ease and support the body's natural healing mechanisms. We can prescribe medicines and occasionally do, though we generally tend to work with lifestyle and herbs, hormone balancing, a number of other tools, physical medicine, etc. So today I'm going to talk about, and this prompted, David always asks me, like, you know, a few weeks in advance, what do you want to talk about when I guest host? And I always think, well, there's about 20,000 things we could talk about. But the day before he asked me, I was walking up to my building past the little convenience store 2 days in a row. And I saw a little child walk out with a giant soda filled with high fructose corn syrup, and the little child was obese, and the parent was obese. And it just breaks my heart. I think this child is going to have a lifetime of suffering, worse than their parent, because they're starting earlier, it seems. The drug of choice is give the kids some sugary drink, and so they won't whine. But this is really laying the groundwork for chronic obesity and diabetes, kidney disease, dialysis, neuropathies, a lot of pain, not able to enjoy life. So it just breaks my heart. 2 days in a row I saw this. And of course, you know, if you walk around, you can see it every day. But I know education system is trying to do their best, but I think in early education we should be talking about this more and going to the point of, you know, showing these kids a fatty liver, showing them how much adipose tissue, fat tissue is in somebody with a great amount of truncal obesity. I don't know if you guys remember, probably, I don't know, 15 years ago, there was the anatomical display down Ala Moana Center, somewhere in there, some, like, one of the department stores closed or whatever. And there was this fellow from Germany who takes cadavers and basically very elegantly, you know, dissects them and then shows them and then preserves them and shows them as a show. As a matter of fact, my wife was part of that dissection process way back when in Germany. When he was first getting started as a medical student, she was doing that. Anyway, the point is, I remember this so well because I've gone to it twice. I went once when I was in Houston for business and then the time here. And looking at a true fatty liver, looking at that adipose tissue, you will not forget it. You simply will not forget it. And it's kind of like when we were kids, the cops or whoever came in about smoking to our classroom would show us a healthy lung and then show us the lung of a smoker. But you don't forget that either. And for many people, I think those are wonderful. Nothing like visual, right? And somewhat visceral reminders of what the heck we could be doing to our body and the pain and suffering that comes along with it. So kidney and liver we're going to talk about today just because, it breaks my heart when I see all these young people suffering and adults suffering just because they don't know. They don't know. They're bombarded with advertisements all day long about this soda or that soda and how you can, you know, have this great life. And, you know, it just breaks my heart. Even Curry from the Golden State Warriors is advertising for Pepsi, I saw, and I thought, he should know better. Yeah, he can get away with it because he's running around a million miles an hour, and kids generally can too if they're active. That's the difference. I mean, as a treat, we went and we rode our bikes to, you know, the local store and bought our little bottle of Coke. It wasn't even 12 ounces. I don't know how many ounces it was. For 10 cents, and then you'd return the bottle for 2 cents and be all scratched up, and they just keep recycling. But we were moving. We didn't have video games. We were running around. So you can burn those calories. And again, that was much smaller volumes and probably filled with sugar, not high fructose corn syrup. And sugar is better than high fructose corn syrup. So I welcome your calls at any time, as always. I like to hear from the callers, from the listeners, rather, because you always promote some good conversation. So I'm going to start with the non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, because this is the one that, you know, we say, they got liver disease because they have hepatitis or they drink too much. Well, actually, a higher percentage are those who have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease because of their dietary intakes. I mean, there can be some genetic issues as well, but for the most part, the prevalence of this disease has been increasing progressively. Incidence of this disease is rising with obesity epidemic in the United States. It's estimated that there are 15 to 52% are underdiagnosed in the United States. 15 to 52, so that's a big range, obviously. Let's say it's 40. 40% of individuals are not diagnosed. It's going on, and it's slowly killing them, but they don't know it. They don't know it because our reference ranges for blood keep increasing, I think, so that the insurance companies don't have to pay for wellness, and physicians are so used to seeing these imbalances, especially with liver enzymes, that it becomes like, okay, well, that's just the way it is. So everybody's that way. And if everybody's that way, then that's the norm. Well, what's the new norm? Obesity, liver disease, kidney disease, everybody going to dialysis units. I mean, how many dialysis factories are out there now and growing like crazy? So for a lot of folks, it's out of their control. You know, they have some sort of predisposition. Don't get me wrong. But if we can prevent it, we should prevent it. So roughly 30% of adults in the United States are obese. 30%. I think we can all concur with that. It's easy to see. And obviously a common comorbidity with this liver disease is cardiovascular disease, which is the number one cause of mortality in the United States. So there you go. Although that's been, I think, actually probably the number one cause is drug overdose, whether it's opiates or drug interactions. Unfortunately, that plays a big role. So this fat accumulation occurs in the absence of liver damage. It can occur from alcohol. It can occur from viral infections, autoimmune disease. But for most of us, it's occurring when carbohydrate consumption exceeds cellular glucose expenditure. Glucose is converted to fatty acids. that are stored in adipocytes, which are fat cells, through insulin signaling. Okay, that's what our body does. It's sort of a, I would tell people that, you know, it's your survival mechanism. Our ancestors didn't have the luxury of food at every corner. And so when they were without food, when they had food, they would store it, you know, and then for lean times, they would be able to burn that fat. We don't do that anymore. We don't burn the fat because our expenditure does not exceed glucose intake or carbohydrate intake, more often than not. All right, we're going to move into the sequelae of effects with inflammatory cytokines and obviously what you can do about all these things right after this break. We're going to take a quick break. We've got a few of them this morning, and so bear with me. Please come back. You're listening to AM 690 KHNR. It's Dr. Kevin Gibson. Be right back.
We see you online, clicking around, buying useless thing after useless thing. Nothing wrong with that. But with just a few clicks, you can end up on the National Kidney Foundation of Hawaii site and make some real change for someone in need. Help someone with kidney disease by donating your car. It's easy, convenient, and fast. Just a few clicks online. We even tow it for you, and it's all going towards a good cause. Donate today by visiting kidneyhi.org, the National Kidney Foundation. Saving lives, one click at a time.
Noni has been used by Polynesians and Hawaiians for over 2,000 years as their main medicinal plant. Now our new products bring the power of Noni fruit to you in a pleasant-to-use form. Noni fruit leather is made from pure, organic, unfermented fruit and offers relief for many health problems inside and out. Our soothing lavender Noni lotion helps with pain, skin ailments, and sports injuries. Noni fruit leather and lavender Noni lotion are available online or at most health food stores. Try our Noni lotion and fruit leather for improved health and energy.
Welcome back. That was a nice short break. Kidney Foundation, that was perfect. Donate your car. We're going to be talking about kidneys this hour as well. I'd like to see, you know, that's obviously a great need, especially here in Hawaii. So what can we do? What can we do about this fatty? Well, let's understand the mechanisms a little bit better because it's pretty darn complex. So I was mentioning, you know, you take in these carbohydrates. You can't burn them fast enough. Insulin actually suppress fatty acid oxidation. Fatty acid oxidation is the burning of fat, okay? So when you can burn fat, then you can keep up, but there's got to be this balance. We need healthy fats for sure, for our brain, for our cell walls. They're a good fuel, a good storage for fuel in the future to a degree. And the problem with this these events is it produces these cells ultimately that want to produce more fat and inflammatory states and promote insulin resistance. And that's the big one, insulin resistance. So here we have bombarded these insulin receptor cells with glucose for so long that they no longer receive the glucose very well. That's insulin resistance. And over time, that becomes type 2 diabetes. So I have a hemoglobin A1C meter in my office. It's a very important tool to evaluate people's average blood sugar over the past 90 days. It's better than fasting sugars because it gives us a better idea as to, although both indices are important, it gives us a better idea as to how well, you know, kind of what the average diet is, what's going on, and how well they're managing their sugars. And it sneaks up on you. And if you wait until the doctor says, oh, you have type 2 diabetes, man, you missed the boat. You could have fixed that problem a long time ago. So early intervention is important. And awareness. Not waiting till your hemoglobin A1C is 6.7 or 7 point something, but catch it when it's 5.8 and then start doing something about it. And you can a lot, actually. So these hepatocytes, these liver cells, also become insulin resistant. And that triggers something called gluconeogenesis and what's called de novo lipogenesis. So basically, it's triggering the production of more sugars and the production of fat storage, and this creates fuel. This fuels further insulin resistance and fat deposition in the liver. So it's this snowball effect that occurs. The insulin, like I said, is related to inflammation, and it also then affects your body's ability to break down insults, which I don't mean verbal. I mean environmental, primarily. And this can be endocrine disruptive chemicals, prescriptive drugs. Examples include phthalates, bisphenols, PCBs, dioxins, DDT, DEE, parabens, many drugs, including anti-diabetic drugs like glyburide. That does not work. Don't use it. So these endocrine disruptors disrupt. They alter estrogen metabolism, which probably affects prostate cancer incidence and breast, ovarian, uterine cancer incidence. So, you know, this is sort of a ground zero, if you will, for a lot of illnesses. So all these things promote obesity. You have a harder time breaking these things down. They circulate in your body longer, probably can cause brain fog, fatigue, and people don't realize it's just this ongoing thing. Just FYI, there is a microbial dysbiosis also contributes to this. So having your gut flora in good shape plays a role in this as well, as it does with mood and nutrient absorption and other mechanisms. So if you've taken antibiotics, you need to fix that. You need to reestablish your flora in your gut. So this dysbiosis has been, what it can do is it can increase the microbes that break down indigestible fiber into carbohydrates. And then this leads to over-harvesting of fuel from the fiber. So the fiber is supposed to keep us regular, right? But if you have this dysbiosis, then those microbes will overactivate or are overactive and break down some of these fibers that normally would pass through our gut. And then we use that carbohydrate as fuel and we don't need it. So basically we've added calories to our diet just because our gut flora is out of balance. Gee whiz, when's it end? Man. So that needs to be fixed. Now, because this is such a complex illness, obviously we need to control alcohol. We need to find out if you're Hep B or Hep C. Hep B is so common here. It's just endemic. A lot of people don't know that they have hepatitis. I used to see it a lot with adults from the 60s, young adults from the 60s who did needle use at some point, and they didn't know it, and they got Hep C, and then, 20, 30 years later, they have liver problems. So paying attention to that metabolic profile, the chemistry tests that your doctor runs, and paying attention to those levels, and don't just take, it looks pretty good, as the answer. Look more carefully. Specifically, I'm going to tell you there are a variety of tests that evaluate our liver function, ALT, AST, GGT, triglycerides, HDL, fasting insulin, and those are all useful and all need to be taken into consideration. The number one, though, is the ALT. And this is an enzyme that your liver makes. And when it's elevated, it means that there's been some damage to the liver. Now, I have some patients that have environmental sensitivities, just genetically, or something happened along the way that did not allow them to process, laundry detergent smells or perfume or, you about name it, and they will feel junk. And because their liver can't conjugate and break down these chemicals very well, it circulates in the body and creates fatigue, dizziness, brain fog, headaches. It's awful. So if you can smell it, and unless it's you know, a rose, probably you shouldn't be smelling it. I mean, unless it's a good food or some flower or something. Our overuse of perfumes and deodorants and fabric softeners and all these things, it's not good. Please avoid them. You are causing damage. If you can smell it, it's going into your system. So please be careful. Take the stairs. Don't take an elevator with somebody who's over-perfumed. Sorry, perfume lovers out there. It's just, you got to use the right ones anyway. I'm sure there's some natural ones. I just don't know about them for good reasons. So ALT. So ALT is the single test, reliable single test. When the upper range of normal is reduced to less than or equal to 23 international units per liter. Now, further adjustment for sex. So, for instance, women that have an ALT no higher should have an ALT no higher than 21, and men, the upper limit should be 24. Okay, if you're below that, there's a pretty good chance your liver's okay. It doesn't mean it will speak okay forever. It means it's okay at the time of that blood draw. So you still need to stay on it. But be aware of those things. Again, 21 for women, 24 for men, which should be, or less should be your goal. Uric acid is also a good biomarker for fatty liver, and it's also a causative agent. So those of you with gout need to be hyper aware of this. I had gout when I was in my 20s, and I was an environmental scientist, not a doctor, and I had no idea. And the doctor didn't even diagnose my high gout. I mean, my high uric acid didn't even tell me about it. I had to figure it out on my own eventually. Anyway, so but this uric acid contributes to the damage in the liver. So certainly be aware of that. Control. Cherry juice or cherries. I always eat cherries when they're in season. Allopurinol is the drug that people use if you're uric acid. You can't control it with diet. So avoiding proteins that are high in uric acid, chicken, fish, meat are high. Dairy products are not. So dietary protein from dairy is not high in uric acid, but those others are. So just kind of be aware of that. There are some reasonable low uric acid producing diets out there that you can take on. Let's see. So there are some essential considerations to managing this fat liver. And the key is sort of your ability to burn fat and to mobilize fat-soluble toxicants from your adipose tissue, from your fat tissue. So a lot of people will start to do a detox, and they don't do it right. And we're going to talk more about that after another break. I got to slip in here. So people get sick when they try to detox, and we're going to talk about how to avoid that. Be kinder to your body.
Your colon, something you don't usually think about unless it's causing problems like irregularity, constipation, gas, and bloating, or diarrhea after taking antibiotics. For true relief, you need to protect and strengthen your colon with targeted probiotic support. True Bifido contains a powerful dose of probiotics with 5 bifidobacteria strains that help balance the immune system, promote colon health, and improve digestive comfort. Why True Bifido and not the countless other probiotics on the market? First, it's from Master Supplements, the makers of Theralac, the fastest-acting medical-strength probiotic available. That means True Bifido has the same patented delivery and stimulation as Theralac for fast results. Remember, choosing the right strains, delivering them alive, and stimulating their growth are the keys to an effective probiotic. So if you're looking to improve the health of your colon, look no further than the refrigerated section of your nearest natural food store for True Bifido, the probiotic colon formula that works. experiencing any foot pain? You know you can't feel good and be happy and healthy if your feet are killing you. So don't put off your foot pain another day. Whether it's from ill-fitting shoes, your occupation, or a pre-existing condition, foot pain is your body telling you you need to do something, like stepping up and stepping into Step Ahead. Step Ahead has the arch supports, orthotically designed shoes, and most of all, the expertise you need to become pain-free again. Step Ahead's certified staff of professionals will give you a free foot analysis so you'll know exactly what you need to keep your feet happy and healthy. So whether you wear snazzy shoes with a high heel or construction shoes made with steel, Step Ahead's orthotic arch supports are customized to your particular foot to eliminate pain, strengthen your feet, and prevent future problems from occurring. Two locations to serve you. Step Ahead in the Pearl Kai Shopping Center in Aiea and in Honolulu at 725 Kapi'olani Boulevard in the Imperial Plaza. Phone 488-3338 or go to stepaheadhi.com. Step Ahead, Hawaii's arch support store.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Kevin Gibson filling in for David Snow. In our second hour today, we're going to have a guest and author, Leah McCullough, who has written Freedom from Fibromyalgia, Seven Steps to Complete Recovery, and also Eat to Energize, Strategies and Recipes for Using the Number One Superfood for Energy. I'm not sure what that superfood is. We'll find out in the second hour. But fibromyalgia, unfortunately, chronic fatigue is pretty darn common. So I'd be interested to hear what she has to say. It's certainly treatable, and it's kind of a garbage pail diagnosis, meaning it's multifactorial, and in modern conventional medicine, because of the time constraints on physicians, they don't really have the time to, I think, get to all those variables. Some do, but it's rare, and basically they're sort of doing pro bono work when they do that because there's too much pressure on MDs to keep up with the whole insurance game. It's really a shame. Breaks my heart again. And the doctors would be happier. They would be happier if they were able to practice medicine the way they are trained to get to the detail. Everybody would be better off. So you can break down fats. You can. Your liver is an amazing organ. It can regenerate, and you can get rid of the fats in the fatty liver, and you can at least control some of these mechanisms. There is something called a ketogenic diet, which is not easy to do. A lot of people will reduce carbohydrates, which is important. Because the precipitator for all this has been usually just too many carbohydrates. You know, that white bread, that soda, the double scoop of rice, those kinds of things catch up with us slowly over time, but then boom, they got us. So how do we shift from fat storing to fat burning? That's the key. And this can be done through a low carbohydrate diet, which will lower insulin and shift metabolism to fatty acid oxidation. I have cancer patients go on this diet all the time. And especially for women that are carrying too many fat cells that are involved in production of estrogen, which is deleterious to the disease they're trying to treat. When we put them on this diet, they control their sugars, their fat levels go down, and they're healthier, and they feel better, on and on. So there are two main goals when applying a ketogenic diet for liver disease. One is weight loss to reduce the triglyceride stores. And the second is a reestablish of a metabolic flexibility, the ability to utilize either fatty acids, fats, through beta oxidation, the breakdown of those, or glucose through glycolysis for energy. So we need to be able to do both. You know, if you have, especially if you're active and exercising and so forth, we need to get back to how we were when we were kids. And then obviously you're going to stabilize weight and have a sustained reduction in inflammation. So you're going to feel better all over. So there are some essential considerations. One I've mentioned before, the control of uric acid. Uric acid plays many roles in as well. I'm not going to get into that again. And then the second would be to address both exogenous and endogenous sources of fat-soluble toxicants. What does that mean? That's things I was talking about before. Avoiding pesticides, watch what's in your food, avoid airborne chemicals, allow your liver to not have that additional challenge. Third consideration is the microbiome, so your gut flora. A low-carb diet, which is what you'll be pursuing, by design is a low-fiber diet. Not always. Apples and pears are high fiber and control. They're not. Those are the fruits that you know you can eventually use. And this fiber is crucial for microbial fermentation of short-chain fatty acids and overall intestinal health. So we need to correct dysbiosis with the avoidance of processed foods, consumption of a phytonutrient-dense diet, and supplementation with fiber and broad-spectrum probiotics is also very, very useful. Now, let's talk about another way to... Because I didn't get into this. Uric acid elevation. Any uric acid elevation over 5 milligrams per deciliter should be treated with medication if necessary. But flavonoids, including quercetin, resveratrol, epigallocatechin, are all beneficial. And they will reduce uric acid. So... quercetin in particular positively impacts three areas of pathogenicity, inflammation, oxidation, and dysbiosis of the microbiota. Wow, really? Quercetin? Quercetin has a lot of good roles. It's a good cancer fighter. It's good for stabilizing mast cells for people with allergies. I take it from time to time for all these reasons. Terrific. It also acts as a prebiotic. Quercetin stimulates the increased production of short-chain fatty acids, which is a substrate for your colon cells, and it protects the intestinal barrier and helps to prevent endotoxemia, in other words, the absorption through a broken-down colon. So that's another thing that obviously needs to be treated anytime. A lot of autoimmune illnesses and such are associated with that. Choline deficiency is another area of concern in fatty liver. Low levels increase your own production of lipids and decreases liver triglyceride excretion. So the liver can't, with low choline levels, the liver can't excrete triglycerides. And this also leads to an increase in large lipid droplets. Imagine big globs of fat. Okay, so choline is a substrate for lipid metabolism. It helps them. And it's also essential for lipid membranes. And it's a precursor for methylation metabolism. Methylation is a common route that we use for detoxification and a variety of things. Some of you out there are poor methylators, and you have a number of illnesses just for that alone. But you got to be careful with choline because it can be a precursor to something called trimethylamine, which then can cause vascular damage and contribute to atherosclerosis. No good. Now, this conversion of choline to the trimethylamine, and I'll be quizzing you on this later, only occurs in a setting of intestinal dysbiosis. So, fix the gut wall and fix the flora, and you won't have this problem. And I have a lot of patients on phosphatidylcholine, oral and IV. IV can help treat fatty liver, and I have a lot of patients that are diabetics and such with fatty liver. And they do it on sort of just a periodic basis every couple weeks or month or so just to keep things in check. And it really does help. Melatonin is another important one. It acts as an anti-inflammatory and helps with regenerative properties in the liver. There was a 14-month human study where they combined phosphatidylcholine with 10 milligrams of melatonin, and the several biomarkers for liver disease were significantly reduced in the treatment groups. And that's fantastic. Just think about it. Well, getting good sleep, you'll produce more melatonin too. If you can tolerate it, you might want to consider it if you actually have liver problems. So one of the factors that we want to prevent let's jump ahead because I'm running out of time here because I want to talk about kidney too. So cardiovascular disease, we need to take a break. We're gonna finish, wrap up liver, and then jump into kidney right after this break.
Hi there, health fans. Dick Allgaier here. Could Alzheimer's disease be caused by a virus? Some research seems to indicate alcohol might make your heart stronger. What's up with that? And does marijuana make you less resistant to pain? All coming up in my health report in the next hour of the Dr. Health Show.
By now, you've heard about the popularity of products containing cannabis-based CBD because of the many benefits people are experiencing by taking them. What you may not know, though, is that there are other plants besides cannabis that contain these same cannabinoids. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the global leader in the research and development of plant-based phytocannabinoids, offers you five dual-acting formulas for the results you expect. Choose from Bliss, Brain, Calm, Inflame, and Sleep. And no matter which doctor-formulated product you choose, you can feel confident that every one of Emerald's safe and effective science-based nutritional supplements are the best value for the price. So if you're someone who's looking for more vibrant health and energy, stop by your favorite health store today to check out the next big thing, the hot products from Emerald Health Bioceuticals, or check them out at emeraldhealthbio.com. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the endocannabinoid company.
AM 690, The Answer, KHNR, Honolulu, a service of Salem Communications, on the NASDAQ at SALM, AM 690, The Answer.
Welcome back. You're listening to KHNR, Dr. Health radio program. I'm Dr. Kevin Gibson, filling in for David Snow, and we've been talking about the importance of managing non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Very common. Very common. So I'm going to wrap this up with, you know, what do we do about it? I mean, I talked about a lot of the mechanisms, some tools, melatonin, phosphatidylcholine, diet choices, etc. In terms of just sort of overall diet, a ketogenic diet, if you can do it, is not easy to do, but it needs to be done properly. People can get into ketosis more readily with some fasting at the onset. But it needs to be managed, or you need to really do your homework on it, because some people feel awful doing it. And if not done properly, you may cause more problems. So in that situation, I recommend a Mediterranean diet. Mediterranean diet is good for cardiovascular disease, and it definitely minimizes, so use quinoa instead of too much pasta. It definitely, it's the best nutritional intervention for these illnesses. Obviously, you need to avoid the oxidative chemicals. You need to do some cleansing, which I don't have time to get into, and then fixing the gut. So have proper microbial and controlling your uric acid. Okay, so let's talk about kidney disease, because a lot of this, you know, these are comorbidities, right? Somebody with liver problems because of fatty liver has diabetes and may need kidney dialysis at some point. And there's a lot of misunderstood components to kidney disease. And patients, I think, sort of don't understand. If you don't understand an illness, then you're not going to be able to direct your own treatment very well. Yes, your doctor should direct your treatment, but you should understand it as well as the physician in terms of what's going on and what you should do about it. Because if you do, then maybe you can stay away from dialysis, catch this stuff early, and live happy years with your grandkids. So, the thing is, if you are not educated through the doctor's appointment, which is never enough time, and then you get online, you might find some good information. You might find some garbage, especially when it comes to alternative treatments. There's a lot of garbage out there. So people, there's a lot of misinformation. And I would just caution you to be wary of what you read, because a lot of people have high expectations and then they end up disappointed and have unrealistic, because there's not a clear understanding of chronic kidney disease, and some practitioners don't understand it very well either. So let's talk about some terminology here. Kidney function. What is actual kidney function? This is the kidney's filtration ability, and that's it, just the filtration ability. So kidneys have many functions, including regulating blood pressure, regulating pH of the blood, and producing the basically stem cells for your red blood cells. But the term kidney function refers only to the ability of the kidneys to filter out uremic wastes. Okay, it's just the filtration process. A patient could have any type of kidney ailment, from nephrotic system syndrome to polycystic kidney disease to chronic kidney infections, and these conditions are serious, but if the kidney's ability to filter waste has not been compromised, they'll have 100% kidney function. So you can have kidney illnesses but still have good kidney function. Kidney failure, on the other hand, refers only to stage 5 chronic kidney disease. Okay, this is when the kidneys are gradually deteriorating and losing function. If chronic kidney disease continues to progress, it leads to kidney failure to the state where the kidneys have lost the ability to filter wastes. Okay, once you lose that, now you need dialysis. Okay, so we need to avoid patients with kidney failure may retain some residual function and produce some urine, but if the filtration rate is not high enough to sustain life, they are in renal failure. Residual function may include a high volume of urine, as kidneys lose the ability to concentrate urine. But this urine is mostly water, and as the uremic compounds are not being filtered out and remain in the bloodstream. So even though you think you're doing okay, oh, I'm peeing, but it's clear. Oh, I must be drinking lots of water. I must be doing a great job. My kidneys are better. No, they're not. At that point, you can't see it, because it's not being filtered, but you'll feel junk. You'll be fatigued. And so don't try to, pardon David, snow yourself on that one. I love it. All right, so the GFR, which is glomerular filtration rate, is calculated, and it's based on creatinine, which is a breakdown component of muscles, age, gender, and race. Stage 5 kidney failure is when the GFR is under 15. Okay? That's when you need a transplant or dialysis. There are more than 3,000 different uremic waste products that are handled by the kidneys, but creatinine tends to be the most stable. And blood urea nitrogen is also another good marker, but the blood urea nitrogen comes from dietary protein, and it can shift rapidly dependent upon protein intake and water intake. So oftentimes if I see somebody with a high BUN, I'll say, okay, are you drinking enough water, and are you eating a high-protein diet? If you're doing either one of those, then that could be false. So it's good to use this, because if you have a high BUN, that's going to be harder on your kidneys, and it's going to accelerate the damage to the kidneys. But you need to look at both. But primarily creatinine is the key. So age is also a factor in calculating the glomerular filtration rate. And anyone over age 60 will have a lower GFR no matter how healthy they are. Generally, you'll see it reported as greater than 60. Some labs will say, oh, your GFR is 89 or something. This is not an exact science, as you could tell. It's based on age and gender. African Americans tend to have higher GFRs, higher creatinine levels, and so that needs to be taken into consideration. So that's why they have different reference ranges. So you'll see, I forget what it says on the lab sheet, Caucasian or I can't remember, African descent or something. And so it's different, and you need to be aware of that. Let's see. whether or not the creatinine won't be impacted by water intake too. So a creatinine under, say, 1.3 is a healthy kidney, where the patient drank water before, it has really no impact. If the creatinine creeps above 1.3, closer to 2, small changes in hydration can result in a wide readings. Dehydration can cause creatinine to be more concentrated, but this is not necessarily reflective of actual shift in kidney filtration. So just pay attention to that. You know, don't have the person overhydrate. Hypertension is an important aspect to filtration. So if your blood pressure is high, it can lead to kidney damage. Interventions to keep blood pressure down are important, but we have to be careful how we go about it. And sometimes patients will go on a drug and their kidney function doesn't get better, it actually gets worse. So the patient interprets this as a side effect of the medications and blames the toxicity of the drug. They stop the blood pressure meds and their kidney function gets better. So in their mind, clearly the drugs were the problem. And since their listlessness and fatigue seems worse with the alpha blocker or beta blocker, that was the blood pressure medicine, if they took those, who can blame them? You know, this is it's a natural consideration, but it's not the reality. So the patient wants to leave well enough alone and they think that out of control blood pressure is really not all that bad, or if they're seeking out alternatives, they believe that if the blood pressure were managed naturally instead of with medications, it would be different. Now, I will tell you that I manage people's blood sugars naturally, blood pressure naturally all the time, and it is doable. Not always, and there are some medicines, Mycardis in particular, that's good at controlling blood pressure and helping insulin sensitivity. So that's like my number one prescriptive drug. Telmisartan is the drug name. So learning how to manage this is in court very important, because we don't want to have that high blood pressure, because that will ultimately lead to accelerated kidney disease. So people will use diuretics to build kidney function. It's a stimulant. Diuretics are stimulant. It temporarily pushes the kidney to expel more water, but nothing more. It does not address the root cause of the kidney disease or protect the tissue of the kidney from damage. Just like you wouldn't use a stimulant for other things, people won't prescribe large doses of coffee for adrenal fatigue, though that's usually a step, but it's not a solution. So you need to be careful in how you're managing these things. You don't want to just put an extra stress with diuretics on the kidneys. And a lot of natural kidney formulas that try to be all things to all people are, you know, they'll include, because the herbs, people read labels, they go, oh, I've heard that was good for kidneys. Well, was it good for kidney stones, urinary tract infections, inflammation of the glomerulonephritis, hypertension? They're all thrown together. And, kidney stones, chancre pietre, hydrangea is beneficial with a demulcent like slippery elm. Formulas for urinary infections will typically include D-mannose, cranberry, maybe a diuretic. Formulas for kidney filtration will have cordyceps, romania, hibiscus. And yet, these are all different pathologies, and they need to be treated separately. So the hibiscus is a good one, though. The hibiscus inhibits the formation of kidney stones, inhibits urinary tract infections, and supports kidney function. But that's a bit of an exception. But that's a good one. So water will not clean all. We've got to take a break before we have that glass of water. Water's good, but overindulgence is bad. We'll be right back.
We
With all the news about side effects of prescription and OTC anti-inflammatories, just launched is Xanthocin, a very potent yet safe anti-inflammatory supplement for health and longevity. Xanthocin is the result of decades of research on the natural compound astaxanthin, proved to support inflammatory health without the side effects. And Xanthocin is a pure and highly absorbed form of astaxanthin, endorsed by doctors and healthcare professionals for superior health and anti-aging benefits, backed by 1,500 peer-reviewed papers and over 50 human trials. It's also potent. In fact, just two capsules of Xanthocin with a meal equals six capsules of other astaxanthin products. So enhance your supplement regimen today by adding Xanthocin to support your inflammatory health and longevity. You can find physician-endorsed Xanthocin at all GNC locations in Hawaii and the mainland, or order it online at xanthocin.com.
That makes you you. Where did you get that confidence that lets you look like you do? Oh, what a look. Yes, you're looking good. You take care of your teeth just like you should. Where did you get that smile, the one that belongs to you? Nothing looks so right than a smile that's so bright. Tell me, smile. You can smile so beautifully. Beautiful smiles are a specialty. Where did you get that smile? Beautiful smiles from Dr. Dennis Nagata.
Sorry, I just love the beat of this one. I have to listen a little while. I can't talk. Puts me in a good mood. Welcome back. You're listening to David, Dr. David Snow, Dr. Health. What's this program called? I'm looking at a sign on the window here. Eat a fish, thank a fisherman. That's a good one. I like that. Dr. Kevin Gibson filling in, and we've been talking about kidney disease and liver illnesses and on. So because of our limited time left, and remember, at tonight, not that I'm going to be able to say anything more, but tonight from 9 to 11, same show. So if you missed anything or whatever, you can, if you really want to go to sleep, you can turn on the radio. Okay? So a lot of people will go to extremes with diets. They find out they have kidney disease and go to extreme in diets. And I don't have enough time to get into all the details, but I talked a little bit about proteins and how we need to reduce proteins, but you can't reduce them to the point where you're causing muscle loss, sarcopenia, and ultimately a detriment to your body. So there's a balance in there. You need proteins for your blood. You'll take it out of your muscles, and then you'll have other health issues. So there's a balance. I mentioned the benefits of dairy, actually, because dairy, example, kefir, has been shown to be helpful in diabetic neuropathy. And there's evidence that whey and casein decrease kidney inflammation and renal damage. That's pretty cool. While red meat, poultry, and seafood raise uric acid, dairy products will not. I've restated that. So people then look at minerals. Okay, well, how do I control my minerals? Sodium. We want to control our blood pressure and control sodium, and we need to. So if you bring your sodium consumption down to about 1,200 milligrams a day, you're doing pretty good. You need some sodium, but, you know, you get rid of those processed meats, etc., and soups and so forth, and you're probably going to do a good job. Potassium is also important to control. Patients with late-stage kidney disease, the kidneys can no longer pass potassium through the urine. This can lead to something called hyperkalemia, which is high potassium levels. But this only comes from late stage, all right, or potentially potassium-sparing diuretics. So if you start with this low potassium diet prematurely, the kidneys are still healthy enough to excrete it, and there's really no benefit to that low potassium diet. It does not reduce stress on the kidneys and cuts the patient choices for many healthy fruits and vegetables. So be careful. Don't worry about potassium because it's good for you until you're in that stage five. Phosphorus is another mineral that can put stress on the kidneys. You can only go so far. Phosphorus is in so many foods. But whole grains like quinoa and whole wheat are naturally high in phosphorus. But they are naturally occurring phosphorus is usually bound and not fully absorbed. On the other hand, added phosphorus, like phosphoric acid in soft drinks, are absorbed virtually 100%. Many processed foods and fast foods contain phosphate-based additives, and even rice that's fortified with tricalcium phosphate. Okay, so look, read your labels. Let's see. I'm not going to get into the vitamin D thing. Don't be afraid of magnesium. People assume that too much potassium is dangerous. Magnesium is also dangerous, but high magnesium does not disrupt the heart the way high potassium does. At the worst, you're going to have loose bowels if you take extra magnesium. So magnesium is also a natural calcium channel blocker, so it helps to control your blood pressure and it helps to balance blood sugar. Even dialysis patients who don't eliminate magnesium in the urine benefit from magnesium supplementation as it reduces calcification of the blood vessels. Right on. Awesome. So don't be unrealistic about, you know, take these small steps, try to catch it early. And a lot of you are really healthy out there. That's why you listen to this show. You take on the means to keep yourself healthy. But let's catch it early. Let's use preventative medicine. Liver and kidneys are both organs of elimination. I talked about detoxing or depuration earlier. Some herbs are beneficial. Silymarin can protect both kidneys and liver. Curcumin also is good for kidney filtration. Berberine also helps the liver protect the kidneys. So those are all herbs that I use all the time with folks. And use curcumin, bioavailable curcumin. If you're going to do a detox, be aware of heavy metals and metabolic waste and various things that can cause more problems than good. I want to give you one little clinical tidbit. There was a study on patients, dialysis patients, taking 250 milligrams of vitamin C orally for 3 months, and it reduced functional iron deficiency, which is a major cause of persistent anemia in dialysis patients. And it also helped them build their ability to produce red blood cells because it the patients didn't need as much erythropoietin, which is a very expensive drug. So vitamin C at small doses. Don't go high dose. High dose can cause soft tissue oxalate deposition. So dangerous. So the 250 milligrams, I can't remember how many times. I think they were doing it 3 times a day.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.